All right, the little Mavericks are in training camp now, getting ready for the year and trying to make some sense out of this extraordinary pool of veterans and talent that they have assembled. And they had media day over there the other day. And usually that's about your one shot, our one shot anyway, of doing something with Dirk every year.
Yeah, you know, we got him right after the finals in 2011 for a really good piece. And other than that, you know, Bad Radio gets him once in the regular season. And we get him once before the season starts, and it's right around now. It seems like it's always OU Texas week. We got him a week early this time. But this was really unique. I like this a lot better as we went over there and went into the Mavericks offices and sat down with him. It was very intimate.
Right. There was a table with a couple chairs around it, and he was in one, we were in the others, and we just shot the bull for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes or so, whatever he would give us.
Yes. So here, Michael, is part one of the award-winning interview.
I want to know about last night. You were watching the Cowboys.
I was watching the Cowboys.
How much attention do you pay, like in the off season, to football?
Not much, I gotta admit. I was gone over 9 weeks, so I left early in July, and I just came back about 10, 11 days ago, so I didn't pay much attention to football. It's all about soccer, as you know.
Yeah.
In Europe, I watched a bunch of games over there, Bundesliga and Premier League and stuff, and so now it was time to get back in the football groove, and boys looked good last night, I gotta admit.
So what do you think of Schweine?
Schweine? You know he's hurt right now. Huh? You know he's hurt.
All right, that's Mike's new bit with anything soccer-related is to, especially with Dirk, it's to ask him about Schweine, the great yes. Schweinsteiger.
Yes.
Who closed out his career in the World Cup.
Right.
Yeah. And he was a badass, but it's so funny to see you ask him about Schweine because...
The funny thing was seeing you caught off guard like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in Dirk's eyes like light up, you know, when you mention anything about Schweine.
He gets excited.
Yes. Let's see. All right.
Schweine? You know he's hurt right now. Huh? You know he's hurt? You probably didn't even know that. No, Schweine is my man. Met him numerous of times. Great dude. And he was unbelievable for us in the World Cup.
I enjoyed him in the World Cup.
Yeah, he was great. And then... yeah, he's been hurt ever since, but hopefully
you
he'll
know
be
him?
Back soon. Yeah, I met him a couple times. He's a huge basketball fan. He can actually play a little bit himself. So,
where were you? Were you home here in Dallas during the World Cup? Or
I was actually here for most of it, and then right before the final. I watched the semifinal here. We beat Brazil that bad.
Barely.
Yeah. And then I watched, flew home that Thursday, Friday, and then I watched the final at home, which was unbelievable. But, you know, people honking on the streets and driving everywhere. And
Did you think about going?
There was parts of me that thought about going, but, you know, now with the family, I'm not as flexible as I was. Plus, actually, why I flew home that weekend, my sister turned 40 that Saturday. So she had a big bash, and there's no way I was going to miss that.
How freely do you move around over there? I mean, are you really...
Not that much free. No, I mean, people obviously know me everywhere.
To the point of mobbing you or anything?
Yeah, no, the good thing is I'm from a smaller town. It's got like 130,000 people, so it's nothing bad. I can still move around. We go to dinner once in a while, my family and stuff. But, you know, when I'm home, I don't really do much. You know, I practice over in the morning. I do another session at night. So by the time I get to bed, I'm exhausted. I don't really, you know, wouldn't really go out and go shopping or anything like that.
What about the kiddo? She make it over there?
Yeah, she was over there with us for 9 weeks. Had a good time, you know, seeing my family and her parents. And
how was the flight?
I thought it might be a little better. she only slept for about an hour or so, maybe two, on the way over there. The rest, she wanted to roam around. And so that was a little brutal, but actually on the way back, which was great, you know, I had this movie documentary premiere about myself. 2 weeks ago, and then some of the mass flew over in the mass plane. So Cuban flew. You know, Devin Harris came, Monte Ellis came, Coach came, Donnie Nelson came. So they came with a mass plane. So on the way back, I was just able to hop on.
Nice.
And basically fly straight from Cologne to Dallas, which was awesome. And obviously she could roam around. She knows everybody there. That was a lot easier. Going out there was a pain.
Is she walking?
She's walking. She's crawling. She's climbing. She's doing everything.
Yeah?
So you saw Petty the other night?
I saw Thomas Earl Petty.
All right, now that was impressive.
Thomas Earl Petty?
Yes, that he knew his full name.
I didn't even know his middle name. Had no idea.
Earl.
We'd been given the heads up that he was there the other night, so
yeah,
the conversation went down this road.
Thank you, Damaris.
I like some of these old-time guys.
I love that, by the way.
Old-time guys.
Old-time guys. Now, first off, Dirk.
Bye.
You're no spring chicken anymore, you know?
Yeah, you're 22.
You're pushing 40 as it is, and so you're not that far away from these old-time guys. You know, like they're out there with an old 20s piano. You know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I like some of these old-time guys, and I try to at least see him once. So he was on the bucket list. I haven't seen him yet. And for 63, he was rocking it. He put on a pretty good show. And it sounded really, really good, so I was impressed.
It's going to be 64 in 20 days.
So really?
Yeah.
You looked that up?
Oh, yeah. I know these things about it.
Who are the other old guard that you've seen?
You know, I finally see AC/DC a couple years ago, which was great. I still haven't seen the Stones, which I'm mad about. They came through here, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the season. We're out of town twice. And I thought about actually faking an injury to fly back and watch the Stones. So I'm hoping that they're going to do another tour, which they always do, and hopefully then I'll catch them.
You seen like Springsteen and?
I haven't seen Springsteen yet, I think. Who else of the old school? Oh, like Aerosmith. What else have we seen? Metallica here was classic. God, what else can I give you?
Eric Clapton?
I've seen Clapton when he was here. Good one, yeah.
You still tied with the Avets?
Yeah.
By the way, that's the Avett brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The, I don't know, banjo-laden acoustic band that he's been up on stage with them. I know when they came and played, I think the out at Verizon in Grand Prairie, he was up on stage with them. And I know he for sure was at the Palladium. But, yeah, they're kind of a one of the up-and-coming bigger acts.
Clapton? Yeah, I've seen Clapton when he was here. Good one, yeah.
You still tied with the Avets?
Yeah, actually, we haven't seen them. And I think the last time I saw them was like 2 years ago.
Because they played Edgefest, which was up at in Frisco.
Yeah,
and it was it was the Vince San Antonio shot.
Oh,
it was that day.
Yes.
Yeah, so that shot went down in the mid right before they went on stage.
Yes, I think two of our trainers or something went out there to see them.
They gave you guys a big shout out.
Nice. Yeah, for some reason we met them a couple years ago, and you know they're big basketball guys. They're all from North Carolina, and they're a great band. So every time they come through here, I usually try to go see them.
All right.
Love music anytime.
Are you still playing at all? Still play guitar?
Well, you know, it's taking a little backseat to the family now. You know, it's actually had a music room where I had a drum set, a little keyboard, my guitars, everything in it, and now that's the kids' room. So everything had to be moved out and stored somewhere, and probably going to sell some of the stuff. But
did you move your kid into where Groobs used to sleep as a baby?
Actually.
All right, for those who don't know, Groobs, who used to be our board op, Michael Gruber, Shoopy, Dirk bought their house, bought the Gruber estate, if you will.
Yes, Gruber Manor.
Yes, so, and from what I understand, it was quite the process of convincing Groobs' dad, you know, Big Mike, to unload this thing. That it was their dream home, and Dirk really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Made him a good deal. Really good deal.
I don't understand why adding a baby to Dirk's family, it's not like their space is so limited that he has to get rid of the music room, right?
It's like a 15,000 square foot house, isn't it? Isn't it like gargantuan?
It's big.
Like, why would they have one kid? Why do they need to add a room?
Seriously, that you're implying that you have like a 2 or 3 bedroom home.
Right, like a little M Street cottage.
Yes.
All right, to sell all of my equipment now.
Why?
All right, well, listen, he loves the Groobs reference.
Did you move your kid into where Groobs used to sleep as a baby?
Actually, the room that she's sleeping in now, Ted's new, so Groobs has never seen that room. I added a few things.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
to the house.
He'll be interested in that.
Yeah. I'll have him come over. Yeah, there's a few new things, a few new features to the house that he probably doesn't know.
Nice. All right, on the basketball front.
How do you feel, first of all?
Feel good again. You know, that knee scare a couple years ago was brutal. I didn't really feel great for a long time, but last year, you know, it was fun again. Moving was fun again. Only missed about 1 or 2 games last year, so I thought, you know, I'm signing on for 3 more years and hopefully play on a high level and efficient on a good team, and that's really all.
Did you have a number in your head, contract-wise, the whole time that you were gonna, this was gonna be it or whatever, you know?
You know, Cuban and I, we go back so long and we've been through so much that there wasn't really much negotiating. You know, we said, well, what do you have in mind? And kind of put our heads together there, and that's what we came up with. I think at the beginning there were some wrong numbers reported. It was 325 the entire time. And then, yeah, that was it. There wasn't really much negotiating going on. We both wanted to have a good team this last couple of years of my career, and I think we accomplished that. Obviously, with Tyson back and Chandler Parsons, who should fit in great, and looking forward to getting out there with the boys.
You know, you're everybody's hero for the way you handled that, right?
Really?
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
They're like I mean, it's just, you don't hear it very much, you know, where a guy that's done all that you've done for one particular team to just say, hey, I mean, it's not like you're not getting paid at all, but still, it just doesn't happen in sports very often.
You know, I felt, you know, when I think I was 24 when Cuban made me kind of his franchise player and signed me to like 6 years, 80-something, and that year that deal was done, and then I basically signed for 4 years, over 80 or 80. I mean, he took care of me for a long, long time, and he was loyal to me, and I had some off-the-court issues. He was always there for me, so I thought that was the easiest thing to do is show him some loyalty back and to the city. And, you know, as I get older, to me it was more about having a good team, about being where I wanted to be, than squeezing out the last dollar, that's for sure.
So,
there you go.
What a great attitude. Squeezing out the last dollar.
Yes.
In a world where that is the majority of people's priority.
That's right.
Is getting paid, bitches.
That's part one. Part two will be tomorrow at the same time as we really dive headfirst into basketball, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's a little bit more basketball intensive.
But that was fun. Two. I love talking to Dirk about anything outside of basketball, too.
All right. So, Mavericks Media Day was earlier this week, Monday, I guess it was, right?
Yes.
And we went over there because we were promised a sit-down, the one we will get this year, with the big man, with Dirk, to take his temperature before the season starts, see how he's feeling about things, what he did this summer. Just a general bull session.
You know what's weird about Dirk is that, God, he's been around here forever, and we were talking about this as we walked back from the AAC, and you're talking about a guy that's been here. You know, you look at the Staubach run,
mm-hmm.
and it was 10 years.
That's it.
Yeah, and he is still the best. Staubach is still number one. You know, he's considered that.
Maybe to those of us that actually saw him play.
Well, yeah. Yes. You know, Troy Aikman, a little over a decade. Mm-hmm. Emmitt Smith, what, 12 years? Something
yeah.
like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nolan Ryan, 5 years here. Michael Young, what?
10, 12?
Yeah. You know, we're looking at 16, 17 years for Dirk with three left. Madonna was here for a long time, too. Madonna played here for forever, but he's not going to quite reach. Or did he? He played till he was damn near 40 or a little over 40, and he got here as a kid, too.
Yeah, it was 93 when he got here. How old was he then?
Dude.
21?
Yeah, something like that.
God, he may have played longer than any of them.
He may have. But when you talk to Dirk, and especially when you see him close up, you see it. That's a 36, 37-year-old man, and he looks every bit of it, you know? That is a man with, you know, he's now married and kids, and it's just, it's so rare and so strange to see someone grow up in front of you like he has.
Yeah, you think about when he first got here, just how shy he was and how out of place he clearly felt, and the haircut and everything, and you know, just how uncomfortable in his own skin he must have been being a 7-foot white German guy coming into the NBA, where 7-foot guys are not expected to have the kind of game that he has,
right?
Or that he was touted as having. They were expected to play a way, way different way, which he could not.
Yeah. And to see, you know, just, well, first off, it was funny because we're sitting at a table and we're all three sitting at chairs that are, you know, relatively positioned at the same height. And we both sat our phones down. We recorded this on our phones, and Dirk is way far away from the phone because he's so damn tall. You know, typically when you do an interview, it's just you hold the recorder right up to their face, then you go back and forth. Well, we're kind of in a round table situation, and he's so freaking tall that he literally is 4 feet away from the damn phone because of his height. You know, and he's sitting up, and half the time he would be thinking about an answer, and he would kind of cover his mouth a little bit and talk like this.
He does that a lot.
Yeah, and so in the end,
I mean, like, he's a soft talker anyway.
Yeah, he is. I think when you get him in an actual radio station, he's not.
Yeah.
But when you're just sitting around and you don't have a mic shoved in his face, editing this and trying to boost his audio was
a bitch.
Quite tedious, I will tell you that. But it's done, and so here is Dirk Part 2.
Telling him the other day that, you know, Chandler, it's, like you said, it's going to be a nice fit, Tyson coming back with the team that you, with Monte and Devin and the guys that are coming back from last year's team. The thing that, like, shocked me, though, was when Jamir Nelson signed, because now you have, like, a three-headed monster at point guard, depending on, you know, how it's used, but that guy brings an element that, I mean, I just couldn't believe he signed for that little, you know, to come here knowing that playing time may be a little bit sketchy. That guy is, that's a freaking baller.
He's a good player. I think actually when you look at the three point guards, they all bring something different. Devin has a great drive to the basket. I think Jameer is the best shooter out of those three. And Raymond has got a great in-between game with the floaters and the pull-ups. So I think all three kind of bring something different. And I was happy when Jameer signed as well. And so now it's up to coach to kind of use these guys. I think they're all three of them have been 10-plus years. So they've been around the block and they got experience. And I think it's going to be fun playing with all three of them.
From the time that you established yourself here, mm-hmm. all that time here, you have been the guy. You've been, you know, issue number
probably
one.
Probably not early.
Maybe not early, but, you know, from, I don't know, what, year three, four on, when you started to establish yourself as a really good player, you have been the guy. The guy that teams had to game plan against. Do you still see yourself that way here?
Well, I think with my shot, the unique ability to stretch the floor at the four spot, that teams are always scout different for us. Whether I'm still as good as I was or not, just the ability to shoot and shoot from anywhere or shoot over anybody, that always forces teams into different coverages than they would normally do. But I think last year, Monty really revived my career. I think it's pretty fair to say that I've never played with an explosive guy like that who can get in the paint where teams have to collapse nonstop where he's laying the ball in. You know, I just thought he made the game a lot easier for me again, where I don't have to grind all the time and create my own shot, where he creates it for me with his penetration, with his ability to get to the paint, that I was actually getting a lot of good looks, a lot of shots that were there. And I mean, if I wouldn't have had a bad last couple of weeks, I should have had another 90-50-40 season. I credit a lot Monty for that.
So optimum, I know the coach will have final say in all this, but for you, optimum number of minutes per game?
You know, we'll just see how it goes here in the preseason. I think there are some games where you're trying to control your minutes, it's just not working, you play a little more. Towards the playoffs last year, I played over 35, if I can remember correctly. So we'll just go with the flow, you know. I think we have some options at the four. You can even go big and have B right at the four some, or you go small like a lot of teams do now, and you slide Chandler to the four, or, you know, Aminu played some four in this league. I think Jefferson played some four in Utah. You know, that's where a league goes now, is one big guy, and the rest are all spreading the floor. So that's... I'm sure we'll play some small balls when I'm out. So, you know, I guess we're somewhere around 30 is where we're trying to be. And some nights it might be more, some nights it might be less. But I did a lot of work again this summer. I think my conditioning is good. I'm going to keep working here these next 4 weeks in training camp and be in a good spot.
Going to be weird with no Marion?
No Marion. It's weird. You know, we were texting a bit after he left, and you know, basically, he's the last guy that was left from the championship last season, and now he's gone.
By the way, 3 years ago, they won the title.
And he's the only one left.
He's the last guy left.
That's hard to get your head around, isn't it?
And you talk about the...
That's this league, though.
I know.
It's ridiculous, though.
Okay, how many guys are left on the Rangers from 2011, their last World Series?
Belts.
Yes.
Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch.
Forgot he was even a Ranger. Pitching.
Matt Harrison. Ogondo.
Dutch.
Matt Harrison. The Dutch Oven.
Kolbs.
Yeah, he was around for at least one of those, wasn't he?
Colby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neffy.
Yeah. Neftali.
So there's still quite a few, 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's a much bigger team, too, than a basketball team. But still, to think that this is still so fresh in everyone's mind, at least for me,
it
doesn't seem like
too.
That long ago at all.
And I'm still on the last part of the victory lap.
Yeah, and he's the last guy.
And we've been through a lot here. I think he was here for 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's tough. I was a good friend, actually, with Vince. I think I'm going to miss him. He was a good dude. He was always in a good mood coming in. We're going to miss his ability to make plays for others off the floor, off the bench. I think we're going to miss him some. So, yeah, seeing two veterans like that go hurts, but that's the name of the business, unfortunately. You know, you get some new ones, you lose some other ones.
So I want to show you before we let you take off. I got to show you a shot here. So the last time I talked to you, you guys were, I think you had like 2 games left in the season. You were over there with Bob and Dan.
Okay.
And I told you that he and I had made a bet.
Yes, and you shaved, right?
Well, I thought you guys would win 50 games. I predicted 50 wins before the season.
And we lost in Memphis.
In overtime, and Monte missed the last shot of the whole freaking season. As you well know. So I said you guys would win 50. He was very dubious.
I didn't like what went on here before the season started.
He set the over-under for your wins.
So what would you have done if we would have won 50?
Well, no. Here's the deal. He said, when I said 50, he said, there's no way they win more than 42.
Oh.
So I said, all right, what do you want to bet? I'll take 50. You take 42. Well, clearly you guys surpassed 42. Yeah. We both lost.
Yeah, I won. You won.
Mine was a hell of
I won, he says. Yeah, you
won,
you son of a bitch.
Hell of a lot closer. So I had to shave a mohawk. He, as his gray hair suggests, has been this way for
I had to go jet black.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So here is the end result.
Wow. You look like some movie star that's afraid to go gray. Oh, that's awesome. I like it. Yeah. You boys look sharp.
Yeah.
So is there a new bet going on this year or what?
No.
No, we learned our lesson.
No. I mean, it was...
How long did you keep the brown hair?
It took most of the summer for me to get rid of all that.
It was a thick dye job.
Yeah, and for a long time, it looked like I had black tips. You know, I had kind of a two-tone thing up there.
When Nashie, when he first came here, I think he had
the frosted.
The frosted tips. Yeah. That was so bad.
So, yeah, no bets this year. Just, I don't know, win like 60 or something. We'll be happy.
We're going to work on
it. Yeah, it put me in a weird position because as you guys started to hover around 42, I would think about this and I'd find myself rooting against you. And I don't want to do that, man. I mean, the Mavericks are my team. I don't want to do that.
No, yeah, that was a bad bet.
So I'm not going to make a bet like that this year.
Dude, it made the season, though. You can't imagine the back-and-forth nature of it. And even when you guys are playing terrible teams, I mean, I am, like, glued to the TV set. My kids are like, hey, let's go do this. I'm like, get away. Just back off.
Go play yourself.
I've got a freaking mohawk on the line.
And, you know, the closer it got, there was all this buzz about it out there and everything. And TV was coming around and all of it. And it was crazy, man.
All right, brother. It's good talking to you.
Oh, great seeing you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys usually never leave the studio, so we're honored. We're honored.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the honor is all ours.
It's a long walk coming over here.
Yeah, I know.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
There he goes. Yes, that is it. Let's sit down with Dirk.
He has such great self-awareness. He's so honest. He's like one of the most honest people, not only with himself, but with the media. There's no BS. There's no pat answer. There's no towing the company line with that guy. And he yells, yet he still comes off as just the sweetest dude in the world. I'm sorry, Corby.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry to Roger.
No,
he's my favorite.
I'm nearing that. I'm nearing that. It's really hard for, because as a kid,
I know,
it means so much more to you. You know, so your childhood stars mean anything and everything to you. But, dude, he's, yeah, it ain't far
he's
away.
He's pretty
for
awesome.
Sure. Yeah, he is.